back in 2009, there was a movie called Up in the Air. And in one scene, there's a young man, and he is there on his wedding day. And he's having second thoughts about getting married. The ceremony is about to begin, but he has a serious case of cold feet. He doesn't think he can go through with the wedding. And a member of the family, a character by the name of Ryan Bingham, played by George Clooney, is sent to talk to him. And the young man says, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. And Ryan asks, why would you say that at a time like this? And the frightened young man says, well, last night I was just kind of laying in bed and I couldn't get to sleep, so I started to think about the wedding, about the ceremony, about buying a house, about starting to live together, about having kids, about Christmas, Thanksgiving, spring break, football games. And then all of a sudden they've graduated and they're getting jobs and getting married. And you know, I'm a grandparent, and then I'm retired, I'm losing my hair, I'm getting fat, and the next thing you know what, I'm dead. And it's like, I can't stop thinking about it. What's the point? I mean, what is the point? That's the theme for today's homily. The Pharisees had one of their entourage ask Jesus the same question, but he put it a little bit more formally. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Now, this question is more nuanced than you think. He's a lawyer, but he is not a barrister, as we would think of someone who practices law. No, he is a lawyer of the Mosaic laws. And what you need to appreciate about these lawyers, they looked at the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. And they determined in total, get this, there are 613 laws of Moses. 248 do's and 365 don'ts, one for each day of the year. And this man, in asking Jesus this question, wants to know the following. Of all 613 laws given to Moses by God, which is the most important? And Jesus answers him by drawing from two books. First of all, from Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And then he goes over to Leviticus chapter 19. And there he says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Get this. 613 laws. And Jesus distills all of them down to two. And the two laws have to do with love. And what Jesus teaches by quoting Deuteronomy and Leviticus is love is cruciform in shape. To love God is to realize the cross's vertical dimension. To love our neighbor is the cross's horizontal dimension. To love oneself is the place where the vertical and the horizontal beams are joined. So what is the point? The point of life is to love in a cruciform way. So let's unpack this a little bit. To be truly religious is to love God and to love those who are made in his own image. And to love God and other people, not with some sort of vague sentimentality, but with a total commitment, which issues in devotion to God and practical service to others. So how do we live a cruciform-shaped life? I love what Michelangelo, who was also a poet, you might not have known that about that Renaissance man, but in one of his sonnets, he writes this. We discover our true I by offering it to a thou. We discover our true I by offering it to a thou. For where I am thine, I am wholly mine. Isn't that great? Where I am thine, I am wholly mine. When we can truly offer ourselves to God, we are wholly his. And we can then discover the genuine me. To be loved by God And to love God requires a humility that recognizes that apart from God, life is a question without an answer. Without God, life is a road without a destination. Without God, life is like a symphony that ends on the dominant without a resolution. It's like a hockey season with no playoffs and Stanley Cup. It's like playing Clue without knowing if it was Mr. Plum or Mrs. White who done it in the library with the knife, the revolver, or the rope. Life without God is just a question mark. And conversion happens and continues to deepen when we recognize that what matters most in life is that the what is the point question has its answer primarily in God. To love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. This is what we call conversion. It is gradual and it is lifelong. To love God with the heart, the soul, and the mind, these are called the three faculties. To love God with all our heart is to desire God above all else. It's to say we want our will to be conformed to his will. How easy it is to pray the Lord's Prayer like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we just don't think about what we are saying. But if you really take to heart what you're praying in the prayer that Jesus gives to us, to truly pray the Lord's Prayer is to say, God, I want my heart to be turned to you. I want my will to do your will. And as our will is turned more and more to God, that's the heart, then both cognitively with our mind and volitionally with our soul, we will want to live for God. When your mind is awakened for God, amazing things happen. You come to a place where you say the deposit of faith, the 73 books of biblical revelation, 2,000 years of Catholic tradition, through the course of this life, I am never going to get to the depths of it. But I want to live the rest of my earthly life understanding more what God has given to us and entrusted to the Catholic Church. Oh, what a wonderful thing happens when you allow your mind to be at the service of his mind. And when that happens, our soul is awakened, and more we want to put into practice. We want to live in such a way, like St. Paul said in today's reading from Thessalonians, beloved, you know the kind of people we were when we were amongst you, so become imitators of us. In other words, what Paul was saying, you saw the way in which we loved you. Oh, there's nothing more important than to be able to say with Mary, I am the servant of the Lord. Let my life be lived according to your word. And so I ask you today, are you loving God? Honestly, examine your heart. Are you loving God with all of your will? Are you loving God with all of your mind? Are you loving God in such a way that each day, like Mary, you say, I am yours? There is nothing more important than to get this vertical relationship with God into a place where we give ourselves to him completely. And as we learn to do that, something else begins to happen in our lives. We become healed. Because if you think of the vertical dimension where it joins the horizontal dimension, where those two pieces come together, this is what it means to truly love ourselves. Aristotle put it this way: in order to be a good friend to others, one must be a good friend to oneself. And so I ask you today, are you a good friend to yourself? Do you love yourself in a godly way? Do you love yourself not with a kind of egotism, but that kind of humility where you are able to recognize your own limitations and your shortcomings? You're able to recognize your own sin. But because you're able to be humble with yourself, you are also learning to treat other shortcomings with a similar forbearance. There is such a close relationship to knowing we are loved, to being able to love ourselves properly and to love others. Knowing that we are loved is such a beautiful thing. And when we learn to live this way more and more, we come into a place of deepening freedom, of deepening joy. As we learn to truly love ourselves, and this, believe me, I think with all of my heart is what Catholics need to be in the 21st century, is what Pope Francis wrote a few years ago in his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium. Listen to what he says about us Catholics. Catholics are to live in fraternity. And it's this next bit that is stunningly beautiful. Listen to what our Holy Father says. And to share a fraternal love capable of seeing the sacred grandeur in our neighbor. Parents, do you see the sacred grandeur in your children? Husbands, do you see the sacred grandeur in your wives? Wives, do you see the sacred grandeur in your husbands? One another, do you see the sacred grandeur that is in you? To live this way, to live with this kind of heart, allows us to become ever more a people of profound generosity, who truly are learning to love our neighbor. And in our reading today from the book of Exodus, there's a particular way in which we are to love our neighbor. Something else Pope Francis speaks about all the time. We are to love the poor. Part of the reason we are to love the poor is because some ways they can't love us back in the way that they can necessarily pay us anything back. But to truly love the poor is, in the words from Exodus, stated positively this way: if you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, you shall not deal with them as a creditor. You shall not exact interest from them. You shall not wring them dry. In learning to love our neighbor, in the poor, we are extending God's mercy to others. Do you know what the largest charitable organization in the world is? It is the Roman Catholic Church. There is no organization that does more to help the poor than the Roman Catholic Church. And the reason for this is because we take the scripture seriously. The reason for this is what motivates us to love our neighbor is our love for God. What motivates this is our recognition that social action expressed in love for neighbor is a way to tangibly extend the love of God. Let me conclude my homily with one beautiful example of this. Here in Calgary, St. Vincent de Paul tangibly reaches out to the poor, taking to heart the call of Exodus. In the Calgary of Diocese in the year 2016, throughout our city of Calgary, St. Vincent de Paul had 900 volunteers. They visited 7,513 families. They delivered over 21,000 hampers, and they spent $1.6 million in helping needy people. Here at St. Peter's this year, 2017, to date we have 70 volunteers. We've handled 414 calls. We've made 15 home visits. We've delivered 394 hampers, and we have spent over $72,000 in assisting people. Perhaps some of you here today are invited to become part of this tangible expression of a way to love the poor. If you're not involved in St. Vincent de Paul and would like to be, go to our website and you will be directed as to how to sign up. So let me ask the question one more time. What is the point? What is the point? The point is love that is cruciform is lived out in all of the events of daily life. That, says Jesus Christ, is the point of your life, my life, and our life here at St. Peter's.